And in our exercise of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, God in himself, by himself, is God. And therefore, so when you go to the doctor, you find the doctor. The dentist, you find the dentist. When you come to God, you find God. And the Spirit of God brings us, Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit, singular, God. The Spirit of God brings us all of the benefits of Calvary's cross. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all of those benefits of what? His person, his wonderful person. So that the fruit. And then it lists nine million. Love, joy, peace, etc., long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And the last one that we're looked at is the word faith. In other words, when you have God, you have all of the benefits of God. You have his love, you have his joy, you have his peace, his long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You have all of these. So, and when we try to capitalize on that by looking and seeing those words, because it'll just say, be long-suffering and long-suffering. So we already know, where does long-suffering come from? It comes from God. So as we turn the pages of the New Testament, we find these words, but we know what they're saying. God is long-suffering. God is gentle, etc., etc. That's what we've been doing, trying to do that. So that as you read your New Testament, you're able to exercise it more fully as you're reading. So the words mean something to you. Where are they coming from? It isn't just out of the air. No. So here we are looking at the little word faith. And faith, as you know, as we did last time, and that faith comes in a little verb, to be persuaded, to be convinced, to be persuaded by words, by hearing, to be persuaded, to be so influenced as to be convicted, convinced. And that's the word. Out of that word comes the word believe, believe. And that's what you found in the Gospel of John. And 99 times, you won't find the word faith except once. In a different way, as we shared. And the word believe, believe. And out of the same persuasion comes the word faith. Believe, faith. Believe, faith. Have faith. And thus you'll find the word faith. Paul uses it over and over, and the New Testament uses it over and over, faith. So, to be persuaded, to be worthy of trust, confidence, one on whom you may rely, depend upon, God, you can trust God. The Spirit of God is going to provide the wonderful fruit, the wonderful faith. Now, God doesn't have faith like we do. It's different. So, how does it come out? Over in Psalm 89, as you would know, it's a wonderful little psalm to help us. And in Psalm 89, if I may, and you will note, it's repeated. That's why we use it, look at it, because it's repeated over and over. God's faithfulness. Faith, and you know, as you're doing all this, to remind yourself, without Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. So, whatever faith is, and God provides it in his wonderful way, It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. Without it, you cannot please God, period. So we've got to exercise it intelligently. So therefore, here in Psalm 89, and it's based on God's faith is coming. The fruit of the Spirit, faith, comes from God's faithfulness. God is providing that which is to be believed. So Psalm 89, picking up as you know, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And you've got to keep reading that. Faithfulness. It is God's consistent being who he is that you trust him. You are persuaded. You are influenced to believe, to be convinced, to be comfortable. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built for up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. Verse 5. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8. O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. And it goes on and on and on. Verse 24. But my faithfulness, 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall be, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. God's going to bless David in a wonderful way. 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is going to be consistently faithful in his most wonderful, wonderful way. As you can now read that little section, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne as the sun before me. So shall it shall be established forever, ever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. In other words, God said, look at the moon. It's always there. The moon's always there. I'm always there. The faith, you'll never have to go, go without a night. You'll never have a night pass that the moon doesn't come. The moon is there every night. God said, I'm there every night like that moon. Generations will come and go. I'm there just like that moon. Faithful. Consistent. That's what I want you to grab hold of. I want to grab hold of it. Now, exercising that. Here's his disciples. They are with him for 3 1/3 years. So, now let's exercise that little part. Over to Matthew. And in Matthew, and in chapter 6. In Matthew in chapter 6, picking up if I may, and you'll catch it. If I may. You remember the God's wonderful, wonderful chapter 6. And God says, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, don't worry. Don't be divided. Don't be all lost in. Don't be all bumbling around in your mind for your life. What you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, food, and the body more than raiment? And goes down all those wonderful things, sliding down. And verse Verse 28, and why take ye thought of raiment clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So in God's wonderful care in his human history, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. You got the moon, you got everything. God is consistent. God is consistent. Humans aren't consistent. They're consistent being humans. But everything's there. Now, why don't we trust God? O ye of little faith. Chapter 8. And in chapter 8, and you remember, if you've been with him, and here's our Lord, I'm trying to think of 3 1/3 years, and you're with him day and night, as you go down the corridor of time, and you're with him day and night, as it were, and in the process of that, you're there. I used to do all kinds of things. They have to be surprised, and they have to realize that they're missing out on the wonderful. They're in the presence of God, but they're missing out on all of the benefit and comfort and encouragement that they should be having. So, chapter 8, and verse 23, and when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Now remember, you're in the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee up in the north of mountains up there, and when the storms come, they ride over that mountain, like, and then come down like on the slide, like a big iceberg. No, icebergs do that. They come down like a big ball, snowball, and they hit some time, rides right down that mountain into the Sea of Galilee. Storm! What a storm! It shakes the whole sea, like when the icebergs break into the ocean. And waves, tidal waves even. Now, having said that, keeping that, I should say, tidal wave. Now, therefore, verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, and you have to appreciate what your education, if you were with them, because they're they are professional fishermen. They make their living in the Sea of Galilee. That's what they do. And they're used to storms. But now and then, like years ago, the perfect storm. Now and then, storms come like you never saw before. And this is one of them. And he's asleep. He's asleep. Everyone else should wake up, but he doesn't wake up. Verse 26. They awoke him, and he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why? As long as I'm sleeping, you relax. If I had to do something, I would do it. And by the way, whether you see me sleeping or not, verse 26, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm, and God said, hush, and everything went down still. That's awesome. That's what God did. Now, why couldn't you just trust me and not worried about that storm? But we're all worried about the storm. We're going to die. What are you worried about that for? Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah. Chapter 14. And in chapter 14, if I may, over chapter 14, picking up, you'll catch it again. you know the thing. Chapter 14, verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. This is out in the storm. I'll read verse 24 for background again. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea, etc. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked in the water to go to Jesus. Now, and you can just imagine that. A, you're in the sea, and you're bouncing all around, and you see the Lord, and the Lord says, come, you can come. And Peter says, come. And God says, all right, come. And Peter dares to step over the edge of the ship into the water. And you dared to do that. That's faith. He just did it. You're right, Peter. You're right, Peter. Hang on. Therefore, he walked, verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and began to sink. Now, understandably, now what would you do? Oops, you're paying attention that I'm not supposed to walk on water, right? God said to walk, I did, by faith. But now, no one walks on water. You aren't supposed to walk on water. All right, so you sink. That's right. You didn't believe. Therefore, verse 20, 31, immediately Jesus, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why didn't you just keep looking at me and come? But you didn't. You looked at the circumstances of your life physically. You looked at everything as common sense, reason, and you forgot. You're supposed to walk by faith. As Peter's going to learn that, of course. Walk by faith. That's what you're going to have to learn. And Peter, you should have just kept looking, and you could have walked. You would have walked. But you didn't. You just didn't believe. You didn't have faith. You didn't believe. Believe, same box. Believe, you didn't have faith. Okay, now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, chapter 16. And chapter 16. And remember, they're being tested. And I'll read verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And now he's talking about the danger of what they how they think. Pharisees, Sadducees. Pharisees got to do everything perfect, perfect, perfect. You're going to be righteous, in the, which they couldn't be. Sadducees, we don't believe in anything except here and now. There is no future. There is no resurrection. It's just now. This is it. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They thought they had no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the five loaves and 5,000, and how many baskets you took? If you're worried about bread, I wasn't talking about bread. I was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, if it was bread, which is what you're thinking, Peter, James, and John, you already know there's never a problem with bread, ever. I've had 15,000, another 1,000 over here. I did all these things. You know that. Now, why didn't you know that? O ye of little faith. You had to learn something. Pay attention. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would. And go with me. And you'll pick it up. And 2 Timothy, if I may. Oh, where are you? 2 Timothy. And in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, you're looking at God's wonderful, consistent person. And God expects you to think and understand the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. You have to understand who you're talking to, who you're trusting, who is in front of you, who's within you. Who is he? He's God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring the person and ministry of God into the heart, and the voice should have faith. So therefore, in 2 Timothy, if I may, picking up, please, picking up in verse 10, 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. That's right. If he died for us, he certainly has given us his life. Verse 12. If we suffer with him, we also shall reign with him. That's right. If, on the other hand, if we deny him, say no, he will also deny us. Faith is faithful because, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In our humanness, we may reject God's awesome person, but God can never reject or go away from the fact of who he is. Therefore, God is faithful to himself. He cannot be other than who he is, cannot be different than who he is. He must always be who he is. He can never be other. He can never deny himself. That's why our Lord would say in John 5, and John 10, if I told you I wasn't who I was, I would lie and deceive and get deceive you. I am who I am. I cannot deny myself. I must So when we believe and God saves us, we need to be able to understand, I don't want to say I'm not saved when I am saved. That makes God look bad. If God did that, if God gave you your $100, don't say God didn't give me $100 when he did give me $100. Don't insult God. Honor God. Our Lord said, listen, how can I deny God? God is God. And that's, again, by faith. So we're looking to God's wonderful, wonderful word. And to what? To claim God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So faith, looking to God, looks to God in for his wonderful faithfulness. And faith is the title deed, is the guarantee, is the surety, is the security of God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful word. His ownership. He owns. So faith lays hold of God's word in a wonderful way. And so as we look to God, we expect God to do what he does in a most wonderful way. Now, keep in mind, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. Do that one. If we can, over if you would, please. Over to Romans and chapter 10, that makes it easy. Romans in chapter 10. And verse, we did it last time, remember. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, in a little, a half a thought, show me, I'm going to say, using what we just read and your own experience, show me your faith. You say you have faith, show it to me. Show me your faith. Where are you going to find faith? It isn't something floating in the air, you know, floating up here. You can't see it. Show me. Show me your faith. You're sitting in the pew. You believe the pew. Show me your faith. I'm going to sit down. What are you doing? You're show me. I see your faith in the pew because you are sitting in it. That's why I see your faith. You don't have to say a thing. I know you believe the pew. I don't have any question. Show me your faith in God. I'm ready. See? Where's your faith? You have the car, you drive an automobile. You put the key in the ignition, turned the key, and went, and you did all that. Do I know that you believe the key worked? Yes. Do I know the car worked? Yes. You don't have to tell me about your faith in the car. I see it. Here you're eating your favorite food. Not yet. At lunch. And here you're eating your favorite food. And it came from the kitchen of the Joe's sweatshop. I didn't mean to pick on you, Joe. The Joe's sweatshop. Here comes the food. Sitting there. And what are you going to do? You might thank God for the food. Whatever. You're going to take the food. I don't have to know that you believe, /believe, faith, same box. Faith, believe. I know that you believe because you're eating it. I don't have to know that you believe. You're eating it. Show me, and you're doing it. Show me your faith in God. You see? Show me it. And if you can't show it, what are you going to do? I believe. Yeah. Believe what? See? Now, I'm trying to get you. I'm not trying to irritate you. I'm trying to get you to see something. Now, verse 17, chapter 10. So then the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, so what do we have? We have God's word. Now, so this is what I do, and you can read it any way you want to read. Whenever I read faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him, period. So therefore, whenever I catch that word in, I always know faith. That isn't something I'm reaching into the air. I'm going to show you my faith in my mind. I believe. So when I read the faith, so then the faith cometh by the word of God. I understand that faith attaches to what? Where does the faith come from? The word of God. God said. What am I supposed to do with what God said? John chapter, the whole gospel of John. Believe. Believe. And I'm believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I'm reading it. And you know I believe it, because I'm reading it and telling you that's what I'm resting on. And so I go out and I'm going to trust, walk by faith. That's what I'm doing, walking by faith. I'm believing God, God's faithfulness, going down the corridor of time. I'm trusting God's faithfulness, and I'm having faith. I'm believing what God has said, and I all the things, every time I read it, I believe it. And I see it that way. Otherwise, I just got words, faith. Then what? I got to attach it to something. Otherwise, we talk about it, and I know you could say it and understand a little bit. And remember the language and all that stuff is good. But, and Greek and English both have the word the. Language uses the word the, T-H-E. But a difference is, we have in English, we have a apple. A dog. An apple. A dog, a little a dog. An apple, A-N. They don't have that in the language. They don't use those words. They would put a the in front of that. The dog, the apple, whatever, depending on the context and everything. But I'm just telling you for me, and that's what I tried to share with you. Otherwise, it's just we're talking about words and verses, and they don't change my life. I need to be believing those words. And so that's why I attach it, at least to my little head, even when I'm talking to you guys. It's faith. Faith is resting on the body of truth of God's word that is to be believed. Faith always has to find to support something. It's supporting what it is said, supporting God's word in a wonderful way. I don't know whether that makes sense to you, and it isn't. I try to read the Bible, understand the Bible, which we're supposed to do, with a little bit. I want to be able to understand it. That's what I want to do. So when I give it to you, I might give it to you that way. Why? Because I want to understand it, and you want to understand it. I want to practice it. I don't want to just read words, and when I'm all done, I have no more understanding of faith than when I came in. I'm not going to practice it. I want to practice faith, believing, believing, believing. God tells me, without it, I cannot what? I cannot please him. So boy, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I don't care about whatever it is. I want to understand what this says and practice it and let faith produce a unique exercise of letting God's faithfulness find its home in my little heart and your little heart by faith, believing. God is consistently who he is, and I believe. Therefore, I hope that helps you a little bit. So, but as it mean, you can read it any way you want. I'm going to read it because I want to lock it in. Faith tells me if I don't attach it to something, I don't have it. I better attach it to something, or you can't see it. But if I attach it rightly, what am I saying? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why I'm reading it. That's why we're talking to each other. That's what we're doing. I have something. I'm resting on what God has said. That's what I'm doing. That's what you're doing. And you're trusting God. Otherwise, you just got words. And words aren't going to do you any good. They aren't going to do you any good. No, you're going to have more than words. They better mean something. Or otherwise, it's just a lot of words. We aren't trying to be whatever. We're just trying to be real and enjoy a relationship. Make it simpler. Here's the little child. The little child is, let's give him, years ago it was said, and publicly said, that the Bible was written, the King James Bible was written for a nine-year-old. A nine-year-old should be able to read the Bible with understanding. That was years ago. Now you have to be nine and a half. I'm just kidding. You got the idea. 9 years old. So here's my little kid at 5 years old. And that little kid can't read it yet. But that little kid, he has his parents. Here's his parents. And the little kid's trusting his parents. And trusting his parents. And the little kid enjoys a wonderful, wonderful consistency. It doesn't understand a lot. It doesn't understand much. But the little kid and the father's world with all of its, the world the adult lives in is out here. The little five-year-old, it's in here. So the little five-year-old is in the same world. It doesn't understand everything at all. But it understands that it has a father and a mother, and the little child's resting in that father and mother. And as it rests in father and mother, it enjoys a wonderful certainty, being persuaded, a wonderful faith. The little child has faith in his father and mother that are being consistent. The little child has faith. Now to us, we don't know the book. It's when you read words, you're talking about God and God. When we use the word God, G-O-D, you enter into that which goes beyond the universe. That's God. No way am I going to tackle that. No way. No. God who knows everything at once. Sees everything at once, understands everything at once. Everything at once is at once. There is no past, there is no present. It's all now. I don't understand. I have yesterday and tomorrow to live. God doesn't. It's all now. What am I going to do? I'm by faith. I'm going to trust him. That's what I'm going to do. The little kid's going to trust his father and mother, who has, they live in the adult world. And the little kid's quite comfortable believing and resting and having faith in the faithfulness of his father and mother. Believers are to be comfortable having faith in God's wonderful presence. That's what they're doing, in God's faithfulness. Am I not going to understand it all? It's beyond. And even when I think I understand it, like Romans, 1 Corinthians 8, think again, maybe you don't. And we're comfortable. We're comfortable just being us. The little kid doesn't have to. All the realities are there, and all the language is there, and everything is there. But what are you trusting in? You're trusting in what God has said and resting in it because God said it. And you may not understand it, but God sure does. So, and like in Mark 11:22, you may want to turn there. It's a wonderful, it's an easy verse to remember. Mark 11:22. I'll see if I can find it. And what's it say? And Jesus answering, Mark 11:22. Jesus answering saith unto them, what? Have faith. Without faith it's impossible to please me. Let me inspire you, stir your heart. Have faith in me. Have faith in me. That's what. Don't you just let me, without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why when we read the verses, we're going to rest in them. And when it says faith, boy, I'm locking on to it. I'm locking on to what it says. I'm believing faith in the context, in the language, in what it sent, the sentence. I'm reading it, resting in what it says in a very practical, consistent way. And when you read the Bible, it's locking itself in. I'm not just getting information. That won't do you any good at all. There are people who can walk circles around us in the Bible, but they don't know him. They don't know him. I want to know him. God gives us his word to know him. If I just know his word and don't know him, something's wrong. I say I know his word. How well do you know him? I don't, Willie. Something's wrong. You don't know the Bible like you think you should. Something's wrong. You need to know him. So now, having said that little bit, exercise again. I hope that helps. I don't mean to confuse you, and when you know everything, I yield to you anyway. So how's that? Oh, well, Corinthians, a little exercise. It's a wonderful thing. You want to have faith and show your faith. That's like James. James says, have faith, has works. Show me your faith. I'll show you my works. Over to 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 1, picking up, if I may, chapter 1 in verse 9. Just a little exercise as you turn the pages of the Bible. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. God is faithful to provide fellowship. God's consistent, going to provide his presence for you. God wants you to lock in to a unique relationship to God by whom we were called into fellowship. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, as you would know, picking up in chapter 10, as you would guess. I'll leave verse 12, what we just were talking about. Chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And God has to help us stay down low, that we don't fall down when we think we're up high. When we're up high on the mountain, you want to stay in your knees like we shared together. So, there hath no temptation, trial, test, trouble, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be able, that you are able, above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. Show me, therefore, God, you're going to provide fellowship? Yes. I'm going to govern your trials. I'm going to govern your trials. You will not have more than you can take. If I let it happen, hang in there and go with it. That's what you do. Go with it. I'm going to get you through it. I won't let it happen if I don't. No. God, are you going to be faithful? We just read that in Psalm 89. God's faithful. And that's why you'd have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Over to 2 Corinthians. And again. 2 Corinthians, and wonderfully so. And just turning again and just reminding ourselves. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. As you would guess, if I can, picking up, please, in chapter 1, 2 Corinthians 1 and 18. But, as God is true, that's the little word, faith, but God is true, faithful, our word toward you was not yes and amen. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yes and nay, but in him was yes. We didn't give you, well, I think it means this. I hope it does that. No, we told you straightway. We didn't tell you. We told you straightway what we're telling you. Believe it. Believe it. Rest on what it says. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. It's true. All the promises of God, verse 20, in him are yes, in Christ, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. And I read verse 21. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God. Not only that, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. So God has done a wonderful, wonderful thing in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, the promises of God. So therefore, you're going to provide fellowship. You're going to provide protection and to keep us from in our trials. And all the promises of God, you're going to keep. So when I read a promise, God's going to keep it. Where is he going to keep it? In my heart, because the God who gave the promise found his home in my heart. So therefore, God, who gave his word, is in my heart. I have the word in your heart, Christ in you, the word of God become flesh. And I have his words that I read. So the word and the words. God gave his word and God gave his words. God, the word become flesh. And I read the words. The word, the words. Back and forth. Back and forth. By faith. without which it is impossible to please him. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and where can you go? Over to 1 Peter. 1 John 2, but 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And if I may, I hope you got a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 19. 4:19, our Lord said, wherefore, I'll read verse 18, but if the righteous scarcely, hardly be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit, remember, suffering not beyond what you can take, suffering according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Yep, God's not going to go beyond, and God's going to be faithful. That's what I have to know. And you rest in that. You rest in that. And I hope that little bit of time is gone, but you get the idea. And I know. All I'm trying to do is, if nothing else, if you don't know him, I don't mean know the Bible or know something else. If you don't know him, you're not going to be fit for heaven. He makes you fit for heaven. He himself makes you're going to heaven. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God brought heaven into your heart so you don't have far to go. You don't have far to go. God's a wonderful person in his wonderful way. Anyway, thank you. Hope you got a little bit again. Thank you very much.